Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk, your get-up-and-go fix of the day. Sharky Zartman here, and if you are ready for some divine inspiration, my guest today will enlighten us as to how we can access it anytime we need it. Amber Albee Swenson is a wife, mother, speaker, podcaster, and the author of 8 books, including her latest, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts. She's also a blogger and a regular contributor to the multimedia ministry Time of Grace, as well as other popular Christian ministries. In 2011, she began speaking to women with the intent of bringing the Bible to life in tangible, applicable ways. And today she will share how to find faith when things don't make sense. How to receive grace when we fail, and how to adopt a hope-filled perspective in hard times. So welcome, Amber.
That sounds pretty easy, right, Sharky?
That sounds, yeah. Yeah.
This is a nice, light conversation for a Friday.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, we've been having some crazy hard times these days, and so I think we're all ready for a little divine inspiration. So,
perfect.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your background and how you became interested in this area.
Well, nobody wants to be interested in trusting God when life hurts. I can assure you of that. That is not anything that I wanted to do for ministry. I have a dear friend that I work with. One of my colleagues says that the worst promise in the Bible is Jesus' words, in this life you will have trouble. And unfortunately, whether we want trouble to come or not, you don't have to live very long for trouble to come your way.
Right.
We've had unexpected deaths in our family, and we've had a good deal of church hurt a couple years ago. We've had some job issues with COVID in 2020. I lost my job overnight. So, you know, there were plenty of things that just, you know, life throws you for a loop, and
right,
you're stuck going, wow, God, what do I do now?
Right. Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. All right. I meant, where is God?
Well, God is in Rochester, Minnesota, too. I can tell you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, have you been in the ministry for a long time? And when did you start writing books?
Okay. So I was one of those people who, I was a Moses. I did not think that God had equipped me at all. I was very happy to stay in the background. And my pastor, actually, back in 2004, I had asked him to lead a women's Bible study, a mom's Bible group. And I said, I'll be so happy to write the Bible studies for you, because I had a creative writing degree.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you just have to teach them. And he said, Amber, you need to teach them. And we went back and forth. I told him, you know, I was not equipped for this. I'm not a teacher. I can't do this. And lo and behold, after the first class, I learned that I love teaching. And I've been teaching ever since. And so that was where my first book came from, is those first Bible studies to moms.
Okay. All righty. So, wow, 8 books. That is incredible. And I wanted to talk about a couple of them that at the end, because I was very interested, especially in the one in the area of the whisper effect. I don't know what that is.
Oh, the whisper theory?
Yeah, whisper theory and the temptations, the, what do you call them? I thought I had them written down, but the things you're not supposed to do in life.
Let's see. Well, I have the 4 books that I did, the first four were Bottle Moms and Ladies of Legacy, and then I did two novels that were The Whisper Theory and The Bread of Angels.
Okay.
And then I did, I think you're talking about the Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah,
Borderline. That was on the Seven Deadly Sins. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I like, you know, I was very intrigued with that.
Yeah, that was a good study.
Yeah, I'll bet. And so we'll talk about that later. But first, let's talk a little bit about, a lot of us have a lot of bad things happening, and they seem to come in waves. And when they come in waves, it's like it seems like there's no end to it. And so how do we keep persevering when we don't understand what God is doing during hard times, especially when things just keep getting worse? How do we just keep going?
Yeah, there's so much there. I think the first thing to really understand is that we don't have to understand.
Okay.
If you look at the Bible, look at the story of Joseph, he certainly had no idea for a very long time what was going on. And he was calling out to God in the dungeon. You know, he had been sold by his brothers, taken to Egypt. He started working as a slave to Potiphar. Things were going really, really well. And then because Potiphar's wife took an interest in him, he ended up getting thrown in prison for something he didn't do. And he's crying out to God, and he's, you know, saying to the cupbearer who he interpreted his dream, and he's reinstated. He said, remember me, because I'm here for something I didn't do. I've been a Hebrew. I've been carried away. He did not get it. He didn't get it for many years until, when he was eventually saying to his brothers, look, you know, you intended to harm me, but God intended for good. But in the middle of the mess, he didn't understand. It took years. Job didn't understand. There's a lot of questioning in the book of Job. I wish I hadn't even been born. Why did you put me on this earth to experience this?
Right.
So I think it's important that I know that the most natural thing you can do is ask God why in the middle of the storms. But I suggest asking different questions. Questions like, God, what do you want me to learn while I'm here? Or how can I glorify you through this? Like, this is a hard situation, but how can my words and actions bring glory to you? How can I be a comfort to others at this point and to point them to you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to learn about you? Those questions are more productive in our suffering. The why may come, but it might not come for many, many years.
Okay. I took a look at your chapter 2, and I was, so I read about the Jacob and Joseph stories, and you made an interesting comment there. You said some of us have been there. We stand up for what is right, only to be hated, to have people twist our intentions and make us out to be the problem. And then you go on to say, Jesus told us to expect as much, quote, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. That just got to me. I mean, I just went, whoa. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, I wish I couldn't. I really, really wish I couldn't. If you and I had a couple hours to talk, I could tell you some good stories.
Oh.
The truth is that I was under the false assumption, especially in Christianity. So I expected to be persecuted outside in the world. You know, you expect that. You know that people are going to think you're different. You know that you have to swim upstream. You don't expect that necessarily from fellow Christians. And I was very naive to think that, you know, if you point out to someone a sin or something that you see that is, you know, not the way an organization should be running, you know, it says in the Bible, go to that person, talk to them. And, you know, if you might change them, or they might turn around and repent. And if not, then go to the church and follow that procedure. And, you know, I blindly and naively thought that if you just lovingly point things out to another fellow Christian, mm-hmm. that, you know, repentance would follow, and we'd all celebrate and go on doing ministry. And I unfortunately found that sometimes if you go to someone and you point out something and say, hey, this doesn't seem right, and can you tell me what's going on here, because this is what I see, you might just be labeled a problem. And mm-hmm. it may become that the people that you go to for help after that rally around the other person because that person is important in ministry. And so I found that, you know, there's times that you just have to stand alone, and you have to stand with God in knowing what is right and wrong. And whatever happens, know that God knows the truth, and God knows the motives in everybody's hearts. And the truth always comes out. God says that whatever is hidden will be revealed. It sometimes takes years.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It's really unfortunate, because you're just going to have to stand strong during that time. It might not mean that you have to stay there. You might need to leave. You might need to do other things. But I have found that the truth comes out. And when it does, you can know that you followed God and did what you were supposed to do, whether or not people liked you, cared, you know, about what you said, or even repented.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, you know, you say hurt people don't have to hurt people. But in our society, we hear this all the time. You hurt me, and I'm coming after you, right? And so,
Yeah. Yeah, it's a process, too. You know, I think it's the most natural thing for our sinful nature. If we're hurting, we want to lash out at other people, or we at least justify that we do it. You know, look, I'm going through all this. I don't have to be patient with you or what have you, but I have found that there is a different way. And, I mean, you see it from Jesus on the cross, right? Jesus is suffering excruciating pain. He's paying for the sins of the world, and he's asking his Father to forgive the people who are hurting him. And so there is a different way, and when you do choose to work through the pain in godliness instead of hurting other people, you can really show people a different way. You can show people the love of God, the heaping burning coals upon their head, you know, loving your enemies. Not an easy thing to do.
Not an easy thing to do.
Yes. Not at all. But yes. It's a Christ-like thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. I know you have a lot of stories, and I would love to sit down and listen to your stories for 2 hours. But you talk about Red Sea moments and manna moments. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we all love the Red Sea moments, right?
Okay.
When we're up against something really tragic and terrible, and God opens a door in miraculous ways, and all of a sudden, you know, he stopped the accident from happening. You were sick, but there's a dramatic recovery. Whatever it is, that's a Red Sea moment where God just steps in and takes care of it. But a lot of times God doesn't provide that way. Instead, he provides with manna, which is the daily strength we need to endure.
Okay.
He gives us what we need today, and then he'll give us what we need tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And, of course, we all prefer the Red Sea moment.
Yeah, I was going to go, where do you sign up for the Red Sea moments?
I think the trick is to identify and notice the manna moments, because those are the easier ones to just neglect or overlook. But if we keep our eyes open, we can see God providing for us each day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I love that analogy. That's a good one. And so, you know, how do we know that God sees us in hard times and isn't just turning a blind eye, or is just too busy to notice? So how do we know that he's actually there for us, especially when we get no break, when we're in that huge time when nothing's going right?
Yeah, a lot of times it's the 20/20, right? The hindsight, where we can actually see where God intervened, which we, like I said, we so often overlook those things in the time because we're just drowning, and so we're just coming up for air, and so we don't see the life rafts he puts in our way, the friends who walk next to us, or the people who provided us food, or the little glimpses of hope that he gives us. But scripture is so good to tell us over and over and over. One of the examples I use in the book is when Jesus walked to the disciples during the storm on the sea. And if you look at all the Gospels where they're telling us about this account, you see that the disciples were really straining at the oars. And Jesus had stayed back on the shore. He was up on a mountain praying. And you see that Scripture says he saw the disciples straining at the oars. It was the middle of the night. They were 3 or 4 miles out. And so it was a miraculous thing that God was seeing them. But that is just one point in Scripture that God tells us that he sees us and he's watching us. Whether or not he intervenes immediately, he knows exactly what is going on in our life.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. And you also said, what is God's heart toward prodigals? And how can that comfort me if I know one? Now, I looked up what prodigal meant. It's a person who spends money or time in a recklessly extravagant way, like the prodigal son, right? That story. Mm-hmm. And so, if we know a person like that, what's the protocol? What should we do?
So scripture is so good to those of us who have prodigals in our family. Most of the time we refer to prodigals as those people who know the truth about the word of God, but they choose to walk away from it. And is one of the things that that really breaks parents' hearts when they raise their children to know the Lord and their kids go off and go a different way. But if you read the accounts of the prodigals in scripture, people who had really gone away and were not walking with God, every time they call out to God, he responds. No matter what they've done, Manasseh was an extremely wicked king. Hezekiah was his dad. Hezekiah had done amazing reforms and had brought the people of Israel back to God. And his son came along and just brought the people into idol worship, and it just was evil, wicked. He was drug away, put in a prison, his enemies overtook him, and in that prison he cried out to God, and God responded. And Manasseh went on to try to do some of the reforms that his dad had done before him. But it is so amazing that Scripture shows us over and over that all we have to do is cry out to God, and he is waiting for a response. He's not like the world. You know, the world does the 3 strikes, you're out.
Right,
You know, I can't forgive you for that.
Right.
God is not like that. And so what we should be doing is praying for our prodigals, that they turn back to the Lord, because when they do, he is there to listen to them.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. So, that story, in the Bible, is a perfect story to explain that. And so,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Let me see. Another thing, you say that creation can help people get through the painful times of life. Now, we're just about ready for a break, but can we go there when we come back? Okay,
I would love to.
Okay, all right. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Amber Albee Swenson right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharkey Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave them helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
With a little Shark Sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman, and I'm here with Amber Albee Swenson. And welcome back, Amber.
Thank you.
And we have been talking about a lot of areas from your book, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts, and you've given us some great, great ideas and examples. And before we went to break, I mentioned that you say that creation can help people get through painful times of life. How does that work?
Yeah, God is so good. I have a dear friend, one of my closest friends, likes to say that God could have created the world with one flower, just yellow tulips. That's the only flower you get. Or one kind of tree. It's just a pine tree. There's no other kinds of trees. But when God designed this world for us, He gave us just this enormous beauty, just unbelievable details. We have smells that we can smell these different flowers. There's such different colors and mixtures of colors and shapes of flowers and bushes and trees. And where I'm at in Minnesota, the trees even change with the season. So there's beauty at different times of the year. And even I like to tell my kids the sunrises and the sunsets. Mm-hmm. They're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my kids when they see a sunrise or when they see a sunset, consider that God saying, I love you. I noticed you today. I wanted something special for you. And so I gave you this beautiful thing to gaze at. It's not happenstance. It's God showing His love for us in these unbelievable gifts that He gives us just in the places where we live.
Right. I live at the beach, and my husband and I go down to see the sunsets, and we have dinner down by the beach. Just real simple things, you know, but every night that we're down there, it's just like a new, incredible show, I think, that He puts on for us.
That's amazing. That's one of my favorite places to be, is at the beach.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just, and we're so shocked because we look around and there's hardly anybody around enjoying it. You know, they're off at all these restaurants where they have to pay all this money for all this fancy food and get shoved in a corner and, you know, and we're on the beach drinking wine and just having simple food and just watching an incredible, you know, sunset. So we've seen some green flashes too. Really cool.
That's a really important thing to remember because we can miss so much of what God is showing us in terms of Him caring for us and loving us. It's easy to stay inside all the time, you know, watching Netflix, and you do miss the sunrise, you miss the sunset. You're not seeing the flowers. It's easy to drive to work. You know, it's the cliche, stop and smell the flowers. But the truth is, If you've got your eyes shut going through the day, you're going to miss a lot of the glimpses of God's beauty and creation.
Right.
And those all attest to Him as an almighty God who is intricately involved in our life. And so we don't want to miss what he's trying to show us.
Right, right. I mean, if we've had a hard day, we're walking down, we're taking our chairs, and we sit there, and, you know, just in 20 minutes, the day is great. I mean, we've forgotten about everything that was wrong.
Right.
It's so beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that saying, the answer might not be at the beach, but shouldn't we at least find out?
Oh, wow. And so, before the break, also, you mentioned that you wrote or a study on the seven deadly sins. And is that the name of the study or the book that you wrote?
I believe it was Borderline.
Okay. All right.
Borderline. Yep. It was talking about just the seven deadly sins and how easily actually the American Christian Church falls into these sins and doesn't take them very seriously.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, gluttony. Gluttony we overlook. I mean, gluttony is an overconsumption of goods or food, drink, beverage, you know, whatever. And it's like the acceptable sin in American culture.
Right. Everybody wants to eat a lot.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you have, you know, three closets full of clothes. Please go buy more the next time you see something.
Uh-huh.
We completely overlook these sins that pride, too. You know, pride is all throughout Scripture. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride is another one in American culture that we just, you know, we actually say all the time, oh, I'm so proud of you, and I'm, you know, proud. And
right.
It can be an okay thing to express, you know, love towards your family or to let your children know that you found what they did very good and that was
right.
Nice. But we have to be very, very careful, because the American church and American Christians really don't care about the seven deadly sins so much at all.
Yeah. Well, let's hear the other five, because, yeah, you hit on two big ones. What are the others?
Well, now, let's see. Anger is one of them.
Okay.
And, again, you think about road rage and how quickly, for us, even anger is which is annoyance. Anger is annoyance. And we get so angry at simple things that shouldn't make us mad, like waiting at a restaurant, waiting in line to check out. People get so angry about it when I keep trying to remind people, look, you can go so many places in the world and you won't have access to these things.
Right.
This is just us being entitled. That we get angry so fast.
Right, right.
Let's see. Adultery is one of them. And with adultery, too, you know, we love to lust after people. Social media, look at what social media does.
Oh, no.
We put bodies all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
And try to, you know, we're always, even, again, Christian churches and our young women. I have three young women, and I have taught teens for a long time, and I try to tell them, look, I get social media. It's, you're navigating a lot, but it's not about putting your bodies out there, mm-hmm. you know, for everybody to admire.
Right.
You know, try to really work on having a godly heart and let that be what shines through. I shouldn't have said adultery. Lust is the sin.
Okay.
Not the adultery part.
Okay.
But let me see. That was a while ago that I wrote that, so let me see.
Anger, that's okay. I totally understand. The body part, like you said, you know, our whole society focuses on how our bodies looks and a little bit about how healthy we are, right? And so.
Oh, so much. And even in terms of aging.
Yeah.
You know, aging is normal. We shouldn't, I mean, people go crazy, spend astronomical amounts of money to try to look more youthful. 1 minute. Instead of accepting the fact that, you know, I'm 50 years old, and I look like a 50-year-old. It's okay to look like a 50-year-old instead of trying to look like you're 35 when you're 50.
Yeah, the people that spend all the money end up looking like sometimes they're from another planet.
Right?
The big lips and the cheeks up by above their ears. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're going to take another short break, but when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about The Whisper, because that sounds so cool, and a little bit about your podcast, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are back with more Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman here with Amber M. B. Swenson. And Amber, welcome back.
Thank you.
You're such a fun guest. I'm having so much fun going through this with you. But I'm curious, what is the whisper that you talk about in one of your books?
Yeah, the whisper theory. So that was the novel. At the time, I was really working with teens a lot. I was working with teens, and I noticed something that was going on that was we'd have these teens who were totally on fire for God, and they'd go away to a secular college, and we'd lose them. They wouldn't come back to church, and if they did, it was maybe at Christmas with their parents, and then they just kind of lost interest. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote that book as a novel and trying to address some of the issues that young people deal with when they leave home and go off and be on their own. Like, can you date a non-Christian? And how is that going to affect you? Will you become more like them, or will they become more like you? And, you know, just the whole pitfalls of drinking and making decisions while you're drinking that you probably wouldn't make if you were sober at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my attempt to try to give teens a tool with Bible studies at the end of the chapters that they could, you know, look in the Bible. Where does it talk about this stuff? And what are the pitfalls? How do I avoid them? What can I do differently?
Wow. That's really neat. I think that's something that young people probably really benefited from. Did you have a lot of response, positive response to the book?
Some, definitely. It isn't one of my bigger, better-selling books, only because it didn't hit the the main audience that I typically speak to is women.
Uh-huh.
And so I go to women's conferences and
right.
that type of thing. So
right.
I haven't really been in the right circles, but so didn't have a huge, you know, following. But I always trust that whatever I write, God is going to use to hit the right people, and that'll be good.
Okay. Well, you also have a podcast, and what do you talk about on your podcast, and where can we listen to it?
Yeah, so my podcast is called Little Things.
Uh-huh.
It's anywhere you listen to podcasts, it's Little Things with Amber Elby Swinson. And the premise is that I don't necessarily think that I can change the world in big ways, but sometimes just looking at something from a little different perspective can change everything. Like I said, instead of asking God, why is this happening to me, changing the perspective to just say, God, how can I glorify you through this? So I've been doing all kinds of different series this year. I've just been having a ball. I just finished the Abundantly More series where I talked about, like, the power of your words and how if you master your words, your life is going to be abundantly more joyful and abundantly more peaceful.
Right.
And I talked about how forgiveness fits into that. And just and then I'm starting a series on Malachi coming up here in the fall, too, that just really takes a close look at the book of Malachi. I sometimes interview people. I had some interviews this summer with a woman author who talked about purposeful grieving, you know, about how do you get through grieving, knowing there's a purpose in it. She had an incredible story of loss. And so I do a mixture of interviews, Bible studies, and just topical things to try to get people to look at things a little bit differently.
Okay. Well, I'm very happy to talk to a fellow podcaster. So
yeah,
it's fun to interview people, right? So
it is.
Yeah,
it's always a blast.
Yeah.
I meet some amazing people that way.
I do too. And so I'm glad to have met you. I've never
Me
even
too.
Talked to you before, so now I feel like we're really good friends.
Exactly. That's what happens to me all the time. And my producer always stops me because I'm like, I feel like we could be best friends. And my producer will say, Amber, you've got like 80 now. I know, but there's always room for more.
Yeah. Well, I wanted you to give us your one best key, just one, to surviving the hardest times. I know you have a lot of them, but give us your best one.
I would say worship. I know it sounds so crazy to worship through the hard times, but that's exactly what you see Job doing when he falls on his face and said, you know, naked I came from the womb, naked I will return, blessed be the name of the Lord. So no matter what has happened, Job says, I'm going to worship. And I have found the key to sanity in the hardest times of my life, when I honestly was just curled up in a ball, wondering how to get through, worship songs that I can put on, they will take my gaze from the circumstances, from the wind and the waves, back to Jesus, into knowing that there is someone watching, knowing who understands the situation even more than I do.
Right.
And if it was not for worship, I feel like I could have lost my sanity long ago.
Wow. Okay. All righty. Well, do you have a website?
I do. AmberElbySwenson.org.
Okay.
And all my stuff is also on timeofgrace.org.
Okay, and so we can. Are your books sold on Amazon and other bookstores or online?
Yep, on my website, all you have to do is click on a book, and they're available there.
Okay, and you know I'm an author too, and everybody always asks me, when are you going to write your next book?
When are you going to write your next book, Sharky?
I don't know. I'm checking in with you first. I just wrote my last one a year and a half ago. And so,
I've
got some ideas. So what about you?
Well, my last one, You Can Trust God, came out in May, and I've got a deadline for another book. My next book is called From Never Enough to Always Enough, and I have to have it done by November.
Wow, so you're kidding me.
Nope, I'm hot and heavy in it right now.
Ah, from never enough to more than enough, right?
Yeah, just how with God we can face the things that we never thought we could have.
Wow. Wow. I love that title because everybody is always working from a scarcity complex and focusing on,
exactly.
And focusing on what they don't have instead of what they do have, right?
Exactly. And I can't tell you the number of women, I run into women all the time, and this has become a major theme for me, is that we tend to put ourselves down, or I can't do it, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, instead of being like, man, God's got me in a situation here where he is going to shine through, because I know he's going to show up in amazing ways. This is just the kind of thing that he has to open up some doors, so I can't wait till he does.
Okay, you're waiting for the sea to part.
We're waiting
for the Red Sea moment, right?
I have an amazing friend who I was in the middle of something really, really pretty nasty a year ago, and she sent me the popcorn emoji, and she said, Amber, I can't wait to see how God is going to work this out. And that's the kind of friends you need in your life, saying, you know what, this looks pretty dire. That means God's going to have to work in amazing ways.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Amber. You were such a pleasure and so easy to talk to. It was such important advice for each and every person. And so please give us your website again.
AmberLBSwenson.org.
Okay. All right. And best of luck to you. And I know you're going to make your deadline. And I would love to have you on the show again and help you promote this book, because I love the title.
Thank you. Can't wait. I'd love to.
You're very welcome. And so, again, best of luck to you, Amber.
Thank you. And you. Take care.
Okay. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And here we are, October! It's my favorite month of the year. I just had my nails and toes painted orange, and so I am ready. We're getting the Halloween decorations up already. Still deciding what I want to be for Halloween, but I just love October and the season changes. And also, my husband and I got engaged on Halloween. That's when we actually announced our engagement. So it's our 49th anniversary of our engagement. But believe me, it was a long time, even in the making. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about our story, because whenever I tell anybody about it, they can't believe it. So anyway, some people know immediately when they fall in love. You know, the attraction is instant and strong. It's, you hear things like, the minute I saw him, I knew he was the one. Or, sparks flew the first time we looked into each other's eyes. So, it's almost like a fairy tale. And that's what I always thought love was. And my personal goal was to find that person that immediately made my soul sparkle. And so, however, that is not my story. I took a totally different path. Now, I'm not saying I didn't meet people whom I was immediately attracted to, but for me, those relationships never lasted. The person I chose to marry, Pat, had already been an integral part of my life for almost 8 years. I met him when I was in high school. No, he was not a classmate. He was a teacher and a football coach. And no, nothing was going on between us when I was in high school. He was 8 years older than me, had a strange buzz cut haircut, and most of the guys in my class were afraid of him because they played football. Let's just say that he was a demanding coach. But I was an athlete at the school. I played basketball and volleyball and got inspired by watching the Women's USA volleyball team's exhibition before they went to play in the 1968 Olympics. And I started to dream about seeing myself in a USA uniform and playing teams from other countries. However, I was constantly told, you're too short to be any good. There's no future in women's sports. And actually, my high school coach pulled me aside and said, you're too uncoordinated and undisciplined to be good at volleyball. And she was my coach. But I just kept dreaming about it. And so instead of giving up, I decided to take a chance. You see, this football coach also played and coached club volleyball. And I found out that he played in national competitions where the best men and women in the sports competed. And I wanted a chance to compete at that level. So one day I worked up the courage to see him during his office hour. And boy, was I nervous. Coach Zartman, you know, he was sitting in his desk and writing something. And I went, Coach, can I talk to you? And he looked up. He was wearing a maroon suit with a blue tie. And when he first looked at me, he just stared at me with his eyes. I kind of lost all my fear because he seemed like he was nice. And I said, I want to play volleyball. I want to be good in it, but I need a coach. Will you coach me? And he looked at me and he goes, I don't coach girls. And I go, why not? He goes, I'm too busy. I coach football players. And I go, but you play volleyball. And he goes, and I just kept talking to him. And that's kind of where our journey began. He said, okay, if you get some girls together, I'll go ahead and coach you guys as a team. And so I did. I got my friends together. And we were all somewhat terrible in volleyball. fact, many of the opposing teams actually made fun of us when we first started. We even had one player on the team who would scream and hit the floor in the earthquake cover position when somebody spiked a ball at us. So, however, after a few years, I hung in there, and we started to become a force to be reckoned with. Now, Mr. Zartman, he hung in there with us, and I think we were as much of a challenge for him as he was for us. However, he did demand that we do the skills correctly, and even had reality drills where we had to execute a certain amount of correct skills before we could get out of a drill. I remember once before the national championships, he made me spike 75 balls in a row in the court before I was done. When I got to 35 and hit that ball out, he made me start all over again. And boy, did I hate him for that. But practices became harder than the competitions, and I was improving. And ultimately, I got recruited to UCLA, played on their first national championship team, and I did make the U.S. national team, and I got to wear that uniform. So it was a dream come true. During the time, I developed kind of a lot of respect for my coach, who not only did an awesome job coaching, but he was also a great counselor. I used to ask him about advice when it came to making decisions. Even when it came to dating, he would just roll his eyes and go, "Oh, my God." But he was a constant presence in my life. My parents loved him. And when I had problems with boyfriends, they would constantly say, "What about Pat? Why don't you date Pat?" And I'd say, "No way. He's my coach. Plus, he's old." So 7 years after we met in that high school and that day in his office, I broke up with another boyfriend and Pat asked me out. Now, I didn't think it was really a date. I thought we were just going to a concert as friends. He took me to the Peter, Paul, and Mary concert. And we had a wonderful dinner. He opened the doors for me. He moved the chair so I could sit down. I'm going, "What is this?" You know, he was just being a classy gentleman. Wow. But when I was on the volleyball court, he was still demanding, didn't cut me any slack. But he was such a gentleman. I just couldn't believe it. And, so one night, he unexpectedly surprised me. He asked me to marry him. Now, we hadn't even kissed or done anything, you know. I mean, I just used my coach. He was just being nice to me, you know. And he asked me to marry him. And I went, "Ew! No! No!" But then he asked me if I still wanted to go out. And just as quickly, I said, "Sure! Sure, I do." And we kept dating and having fun and everything. Then he asked me again, and I said no. And then he said something that forever changed my life. "I'm going to ask you one more time, and if you say no, I'll never see you again." And I just went, "Oh, my God, I'm in trouble." So I didn't want to lose him. Obviously, he got my attention. And I actually, for the first time in a long time, started to pray for guidance. Finally, it dawned on me what love was all about. Here was a person who had been an integral part of my life for over 7 years and accepted me more than anybody else and treated me with ultimate respect. I was attracted to him, but the fact that he was my coach and 8 years older than me seemed to always get in the way. However, I couldn't imagine my life without him. Could I actually become his wife? And so I didn't wait for him to ask me again. I asked him. And I didn't really ask. We were out with my parents, and we were talking about something. I go, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to marry Pat." And my dad looked at Pat, and he goes, "Is that okay with you?" And Pat goes, "Yes." And so we didn't really announce it until Halloween when we went to the chart house. And actually, we didn't go there to announce it. He saw one of his friends there, and his friends said, "Anything happening?" And Pat looked at me, and I looked at him. And he goes, I don't know. And then I saw my friend. I go, "Linda, we're getting married." So Anyway, whenever we tell our story as to how we got together, people shake their heads and laugh. Obviously not a typical romance at the start, but definitely a lasting one. And yes, he does make my soul sparkle. And so, anyway, yeah, we're going to celebrate Halloween. We're going to go to the Chart House, and we're going to have fun. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today on Pep Talk, and to my wonderful guest, Amber Albie Swenson. And remember, you can trust God when life hurts. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman. Here's to your inner shark, and happy Halloween.